Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a rose.
We're going to see what someone in Israel has to say about what John Kerry had to say today in Gay Paris. Welcome to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. That's right, folks, you're in the right spot. You're listening to us live on FM 105.5 or AM 660, The Answer. We thank you very much for doing so. Don't forget you can always listen to us at am660theanswer.com or download the free WORL-FM AM app into that there smart device of yours. All right, we are here. We are live until 7 o'clock. 407-774-8255 is the number. Abe Katzman will be joining us here shortly to respond to talk about, to analyze what John Kerry and the Obama administration is up to with this speech today, which I think is just the second leg of a trifecta, if you will. The first leg was the UN resolution last week. I believe this is the second leg. The third leg, I believe, is yet to come, and that will be either another UN resolution or just a declaration by the Obama administration that there is indeed a Palestinian state. So we'll talk about all that with Abe Katzman. We got a lot of other stuff to talk about as well. We got some more tickets to tomorrow night's Reloaded Wrestling W 2.0. So if you didn't get any last night, you got a chance to get them tonight. We'll do that here in just a little while. And we'll talk a little bit about the market today. You know, we got some college football tonight. And then Mike McMath is going to describe the proper response when you are accosted by a Trump hater and Hillary supporter. So we got a lot to do this evening. So, college football tonight. And in the Orlando Sentinel today, big headline, the guy that
right.
part of the Orlando Lions is being shoved aside or stepping right. aside, whatever, you know how that goes.
I'm really looking forward to them opening up and playing next year, only because remember back 2 years ago, I said this was a fraud on the tickets. Remember they were doing $60,000 a game.
Right.
Right? And I said, I guarantee you they're dumping 30,000 tickets into the area
that is
so everybody
free.
Thinks yeah. right so everybody envisions that boy the man is outstanding, etc. Well, you notice toward the end of the year their crowds had dropped all the way down as low as like 6,600 people. Now how do you go from 60,000 to 6,600 people? One, you're going bankrupt and the franchise about to close.
Well, or
two, no one wants to really pay for them. And I see that beautiful stadium they built downtown.
Yeah.
And
well, they've had a losing record too, and
I understand.
Helps. But they got this screwy system where their best players can be called away suddenly in the middle of the season. Crucial mm-hmm. games, doesn't matter. They get called away to play these what they call friendly games.
Yeah, I mean, could you imagine if they did that in the NFL? Okay, I want to see the Patriots because you know I got to see. What do you mean he left? Oh, he's over playing
Canadian football.
Yeah, the Canadian football. Right. He's up in Montreal. What? Right. I paid out $200 for the ticket.
Right.
No, I think there's more problems with that franchise than are exposed yet, but it will show because they did too many giveaways at the time.
Well, this year they've already the coach has changed over, and now in essence
right.
the
I mean,
guy
you know, there's
ran
something
the operation
not right at home.
Yeah,
and even today, as you know, Chris, you mentioned earlier. That bowl game, which we have here in Orlando, which I think is, I call it the first legitimate bowl of the day,
of the
or possibly
season.
Of the last, you know, week and a half,
oh, yeah.
is Miami playing West Virginia. You know, West Virginia has 10 wins, Miami has 8 wins, credible teams. Bad news is Miami doesn't have much of a following. Good news, West Virginia does. But if we go back over the last week and a half, 2 weeks, and look at the crowds that attend these bowl games, they got to stop playing bowl games where teams are 6-6, 7-5. How about this? 5-7. Remember a couple days ago, North Texas played Army. North Texas goes into the bowl game with 5-7. Well, is that what you do at the beginning? Okay, guys, if we really play lousy this year, I can get you a bowl game.
Once again, it's the age of entitlement.
Maybe if you're in eighth place, you get a bowl game.
I tell you, if they could come up with enough bowl games, everybody in the NCAA football would get a bowl game.
I understand it, but my concern is, I mean, these bowls have to be losing their shirt. Because they have literally no attendance. You look at the sidelines. I mean, having done arena football, first thing I ever look is immediately at the size of the crowd, and then you can start calculating where you're headed. Now, we know the sponsors pick up a big lift on this, but the reality of it is, I think, again, people like ESPN who pay money for these things, that's why ESPN is losing hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, and I can't believe there's many viewers either when you're watching a 5-7 team. I just don't buy that story.
Anyway, the game tonight should be good. If you're going there live, we hope you enjoy it. If you watch it on TV, hopefully it'll be a good game because, each team is vastly
qualified. Well, they're both
qualified.
West Virginia's an amazing school. I mean, who would think that West Virginia, but every year they're pretty competitive.
Oh, yeah.
And they're, I know when I was at Penn State, though, they did have a problem. They were like 0-22 going against us. Every year they come up with, they'd be like 9-0, 8-0, and always leave with a loss. I don't care what the record was, always left with a loss.
All right. Somebody who's leaving with while losing was, of course, Barack Obama. Today, his Secretary of State, his current one, John Kerry, gave a speech, a broadly outlined plan, if you will, for ostensibly peace between the Palestinians and the Israelis, and in fact, of course, the reverse effect may actually end up happening. It may be the beginning of a new strife, because, as I said, I believe this is just the second leg in a trifecta. The administration did play some role. We don't know how large. According to the Israeli government, it was quite large in the construction and passing of the UN resolution last week, which is problematic because this is not something that Donald Trump can come in there and declare null and void. This is a UN resolution. It's not an act of Congress. It's not an executive order. It's a UN resolution. Now, you can argue, let's just get rid of the UN. Well, that's easier said than done, obviously. So for right now, the UN ain't going anywhere. Down the road, perhaps, yes. But for right now, it is the institution where everybody meets face-to-face, so to speak. And the UN resolution can only be reversed by everyone who voted for it to change their vote to against it. Or I guess abstain.
Yeah.
And, the likelihood of that
not gonna happen.
Is not very high.
Yeah.
Correct. So this has already begun the process of legitimizing the a Palestinian statehood. And it doesn't require there to be any ground that they actually occupy that they can call a state. You follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. This can be statehood in an abstract sense, not a physical geographic sense.
Right.
And that's what they're working toward here. I think the key in Kerry's remarks today in portending or foretelling what is yet to come, and that is when he talked about there can be no peace with a one-state solution. So I think their solution is going to be to force upon the Palestinians and the Israelis at this time a two-state solution. They will, in essence, I believe the third leg of this, the second leg was today, the speech by Kerry, which sets up the argument for the third leg, which is to recognize a Palestinian state. Mm-hmm. Now, even if Barack Obama just does this by executive order, it still begins the process of the mindset changing, if you will. But if he does it once again by UN resolution, then it will make it near impossible to change that. And believe me, there are plenty of states in the UN who would be happy to sponsor such a UN resolution.
Chris, one thing about John Kerry, in all seriousness, what problems has he really resolved around the world having since been in office?
Oh, well,
tell me anything. Anything he has done good that benefited the United States.
And this is in that same trend because this is not solving a problem. It's making it worse. It's making a very complicated, difficult problem even that much more complicated and difficult to solve. That doesn't mean it can't be. This means it's going to be a lot harder now. Because in essence, what the United States is doing is forcing the hand of a sovereign nation, don't you see? Right? And demanding that they give up territory that that nation considers its own. And what he called for today was to go back to the 67 borders. And what the Palestinians are to give up for that land is the promise of peace.
Do the Palestinians have a democracy?
No, they do not.
All right. Okay, how do you get this done? When there's really no government.
Well, according to him.
This
was a paternal speech. It was as though John Kerry was the adult taking care of the child.
He understands how it'll be resolved, but none of us.
Right. Okay. He's taking care of the children in Israel because the children in Israel don't seem to understand. They're going down the wrong road. They need to be set back on the right road. The right road is, of course, what their interpretation of peace is. And once again, that is for the Israelis to go back to the 67 borders for the promise of peace. And by the way, they will be in charge of securing that peace. In other words, Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But Israel's response, of course, we'll get more from Abe Katzman,
Why do they believe there would be peace? All you're doing is giving somebody more land who has been a proven enemy of the state, who is backed by Hamas.
And not really asked any concession from them.
Yeah. Why would there be peace?
Right. There wouldn't be.
Right.
And that's the problem.
Doesn't make any sense at all.
That is exactly. But mm-hmm. that's not going to stop them from taking it that next step mm-hmm. farther, mm-hmm. okay, which is recognition of a Palestinian state.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as I said, in their mind, only a two-state solution will work, and their version of the two-state solution, mm-hmm. okay, which is 67 borders,
right.
And he gave like six principles. We'll go through some of those with Abe Katzman. Let me just go through real quick. Provide secure and defined 67 borders. Provide secure and defined borders along the 67 lines.
Who won that war?
Obviously, the Israelis.
Right, okay. Well, I just want to make sure we're clear.
Two states with full and equal rights for all within those states. And recognition.
Who is going to ensure that the Palestinians will have equal rights for all within the state?
They will.
Oh, they will?
Right.
Oh,
and by
just
the
like
way,
they are taking care of all the people
now,
right?
Their version of equal rights does not have to equal our version.
What do you think I'm getting
Whatever
at?
Their rights are.
Yeah, beating someone, cut their head off,
right.
That's part of their equal rights program.
That's
a fair deal.
Exactly.
Oh, that's fair. That's
exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And
I can see we're really heading along here.
Exactly. Two-state solution, recognition of the Jewish state, but only if the Jewish state allows them the 67 borders. The solution to the Palestinian refugee problem, including reparations.
Oh, so Israel's supposed to give them reparations?
Well, he went on later to say that the international community might pony up some money too, but come on, give me a break.
Yeah, why?
Right.
Right.
The resolution of Jerusalem as capital of both states. It would be the capital of both states. And he called it the status quo would be maintained. And satisfy Israel's security needs, the Palestinians need to show respect for the Israelis, recognize them, and the Palestinians will be responsible for policing the Palestinians.
So
How good do you think that's going to happen?
Overnight. I mean, all these years of hatred and violence and the killing of children and everything, you just go, okay, now we respect each other. All
right.
No, that's going to work real well.
And he also argued that,
without a doubt,
that part of the deal also has to be broader peace. In other words, everybody in the region has to get on board and declare peace, and we all love one another, with the exception of Iran, which he cited in his speech as a problem for both the Arabs and the Israelis that could bring them together. It was like a convenient problem that they created, right?
Pretty big problem, you know?
Hey, caramba. Let's see what Jim has to think about this. He's on the line right now. Abe Katzman will be joining us momentarily from Israel. Jim, thank you for calling.
Hey, it's good to be with you.
Thank you, sir.
Jim.
Thank you.
I am fascinated by this discussion and this whole development. I think that if anyone ever had any doubts that Barack Obama was an enemy of Israel, this should put all those to rest. And his stooge, Kerry, is doing the same thing. This is devastating to Israel. If Obama had really believed anything and had any intestinal fortitude, he would have done it when this was really coming up, which was right before the 2012 election. But, of course, he was afraid he'd lose Jewish votes and Jewish money, so he didn't do it. But now that he has nothing else to lose, he is simply going for the gold and stabbing Netanyahu in the back.
Jim, one question. Do you think, yeah, in all seriousness, that Barack Obama could be a closet Muslim?
Let's put it this way.
I'm serious about
this. I don't
know
how much evidence there is, but I will say it like this.
You are what you are, right?
If there was evidence of that, I wouldn't even raise an eyebrow.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Any more than I'd raise an eyebrow if someone proved with courtroom quality of proof that Hillary Clinton murdered Vince Foster. I'd say, well,
this
is something that is totally reasonable.
Yeah. Well.
So it's the kind of thing where you don't have the kind of proof you can put them in court, but if it did exist, there would be no surprise.
Right.
So you have a situation here. I don't know what you guys think of John Bolton. I think he's the smartest man in foreign policy.
Oh, I like him a lot.
Country. Every one of your listeners should be calling the transition team, assuming they have cell phone numbers, and tell them to put John Bolton in as Undersecretary of State, since Tillerson has the top job.
Yeah.
But this two-state solution is never going to work, because what happens is Israel makes real concessions, and the Palestinians make promises they have no intention of keeping, and they will not have any intention of keeping these either. They're going to have a six-mile-wide border with the 67 lines. They're going to have a six-mile-wide east-to-west border. The Palestinians can cut Israel in half in a day.
Right.
It is astounding. One of the most amazing guys like Mike Huckabee are spitting tacks, are so angry at this.
Oh, yeah.
But this is what one could expect from Obama. I mean, it is totally consistent with his petulant, petty character.
Yeah.
And
we knew something like this was coming. We've been talking about it for some time on the show. Just didn't know what the exact details were going to be. And as I said, this little play is not over. There's going to be an Act 3. You can count on it. And but you're right, Jim. I appreciate the call. We're going to go now to Abe Katzman, who's coming to us live from Jerusalem. So let's go right to Abe. Abe, thanks again for being with us two nights in a row. We appreciate that. And wish it could have been under much more joyous circumstances. We anticipate that in the future. But for now, first of all, was this speech by John Kerry broadcast live on television there? And then what was your initial reaction?
Yeah, it was. First of all, I'm disoriented coming on without my theme music.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, Nick, hit it.
You know, it's a kind of a sad day, so maybe the music isn't so appropriate.
We'll rack that up for the break. Anyway.
Okay. It was on here, and I was actually, it was interesting. I was getting messages from Israeli friends asking me, like, what is this? What is he doing? Why is he doing this now? It's ridiculous what he said, and it was ridiculous that he was saying it. Now 99% of the Obama presidency is complete, and now you're laying this out? People are, I mean, look, to start out, the prime minister himself responded to this and responded very strongly, which I think in itself says something. I think that maybe there's some dispute about whether he's overreacting or not. I think that what he's actually trying to do is make it impossible for the Obama administration to follow through with whatever else they've got up their sleeve against Israel. I think he may think that if there's enough of a pushback, and if it looks humiliating enough to the Obama administration, that maybe they'll think twice about whatever it is that everyone assumes they're going to be coming forward with.
Well, my assumption is, and I must admit, I heard this on Jay Sekulow's show earlier today, they speculated that the Act 3 is going to be what they call full member status for the Palestinian state at the UN. And that will be, you know, one reason why Obama's doing this is because this will be a permanent legacy that he will be able to wear around as a badge that President Obama, in essence, created the Palestinian state when nobody else could. Your thoughts?
Well, it's possible. I wouldn't put it past him. There's both he and Kerry have demonstrated an absolute obsession over this, and what's so odd is that, okay, I understand that 20 years ago it was popular to say, oh, the road to Middle East peace runs through Jerusalem. You have to solve the settlement issue, and you have to do, it's like, really? ISIS, Iran and Iraq and Yemen and everybody, you know, Syria, that's really about the settlements? The Middle East is a mess, and it's largely thanks to them. Considering the wisdom with which they have managed things like Syria and Iran, I'm not sure that Israel feels all that good about taking advice from them about how they're supposed to, risk their existence, taking a leap of faith in a bunch of veterans of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, of the PLO, the inventors of terror. I heard the tail end of whoever, I don't even know who you had on before.
Jim, it's called.
I heard the tail end of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, that's true. You're giving up, territory. It's historical territory. This is the heart, the biblical heartland. It's such a small country to begin with. And Israel is expected to cede, the high ground, valuable high ground, historical territory. And be only, that's what it is. They'll be a 9 mile wide plain. Now, they were in this situation once before, and that was in 1967, and all the surrounding Arab armies, there was no occupation, as they call it today.
Right.
The Arab armies surrounded them and were planning on annihilating them. This was going to be a war of extermination. As was, I couldn't believe that Kerry spoke like this. 1948, the war in 1948, he spoke about the Nakba, the catastrophe is how it's perceived in Palestinian circles. You know what the Nakba was? The Nakba was that they did not succeed in exterminating the Jews who were living here. It was a war of annihilation. And to pretend otherwise, and to just think that Israel is supposed to now just hand over to the very same people who have not even been able to stomach the idea of having a Jewish state anywhere here. I mean, how come he didn't talk about that? How come he didn't? I'm curious to know. Have you ever asked the Palestinians, what would you be willing to accept in terms of a Jewish state? Here's a map. Draw the borders.
Abe, another question is, how do you cleanse the minds of the Palestinians? These are people who've lived through the years strictly on hate and victimization. You know, that reminds you of something, doesn't it? But the idea is, they're not going to be cured because you change the boundary. You know, nothing like that is resolved in 6 months or anything of that nature. Plus, the Jewish people are progressive people. You know, they moved on. They educate themselves. They build a great economy. They don't live off of hate. How do you resolve that? My answer to that is you don't.
Abe?
You don't do it overnight, that's for sure. It does not. It's what takes that long. I mean, this has been something they've been building up for a long, long time. And it's not the kind of thing, if this is the mindset, if you're immersed in this, you don't just raise a flag, create some borders, and now everything's okay. Now everyone's at peace.
All right. Abe, if you'll hold it right there, we'll be back in just a little piece of time because we got to take a hard break. Welcome back to the American Adversaries, and that's right, that music means Abe Katzman is still with us, coming to us live from Jerusalem. In the studio, I have Michael McBath, I don't even know if we even introduced ourselves at the beginning of the show today. Shame
you know,
on us.
You were off on a tangent, and we just let you go.
Shame on us. That is Michael McBath. Got Aubrey Kahn in the studio, myself, Christopher Hart, and, of course, Abe Katzman coming to us live from Jerusalem. Abe, we got a monitor in the studio here, and we were just watching the crawl on Fox News talking about how Palestinian leaders are already rejecting the notion of, you know, recognizing Israel as a valid state. And it gets right to the heart of what you and what Mike asked you, what you were talking about before we went to the break. I mean, they can do, the diplomats can do what diplomats do, but when you, you know, the facts
won't change
on the ground,
the mindset.
Right. And Kerry kept referring to the facts on the ground today, the realities of the situation, if you will, and yet his solution seemed to ignore them.
Yeah, this is, look, the history is that they were offered, there was an offer of a state in 1947, and it was rejected. They went to war instead. After Israel conquered or liberated, however you look at it, the West Bank in 1967, they offered land back and were told no. We're told no peace, no negotiation, no recognition. It happened. It just keeps on happening. I mean, you saw even with when Bill Clinton was involved, he offered Yasser Arafat 98% of what they were asking for, and Arafat didn't come back with a counteroffer. He came back with a terror war. I mean, they killed hundreds of people in you know these gruesome terror attacks with weapons, largely with weapons provided by Israel under the Oslo Accords. So, you know, again, there were offers in 2008 and then in 2014, and each time they've walked away. They made peace with Hamas in 2014. They came up with a unified, decided to have a unified government. This is just delusional on the part of Kerry for both sides. I don't think he grasps how just you know where the Palestinians actually are on this, you know, I watch this and it's partly in anger and partly you know part of me thinks it's hilarious,
sort of dismay.
John Kerry, you know, be you know take himself so seriously and make me, you know, this is just ridiculous. And I mean, I'd laugh except that. You know, we're not supposed to laugh at people with
mental disabilities.
Yeah, right. Really what it feels like.
Right. Yeah, but unfortunately, you know, he's in a position of power. And, you know, you've got a megalomaniac who is the president and his assistant. And they are out to destroy Israel.
Is it really that, or is it just that they're so naive in their solution, Abe? Because a lot of people do feel like that Obama, he's Muslim or whatever, he's trying to destroy the state of Israel. Are people over there having the same feelings?
Well, you know, he's always had, there's always been this, I would say, a certain underlying distrust by a lot of people about just where he's coming from when it comes to Israel. Remember, you know, I know we're not supposed to bring it up anymore, but he did sit for 20 years in Jeremiah Wright's church. Let's just say it was not a bastion of Zionism over there. So, you know, and this is a guy who says that he learned everything he learned about the Middle East from Rashid Khalidi, who's a PLO apologist and a professor. Anyway, you know, he's got a problem with Israel. What is at the root of it? I'm not sure. Is it religious? Is it that Israel represents the West? Is it that Israel he looks at as being the oppressor, even though they're, you know, fighting for their lives at every given moment? I don't know. But I also know that he is very thin-skinned. And the fact that Israel, and especially Prime Minister Netanyahu, would not bow to him and his demands, he finds terribly offensive. And he is, I think he let this get to him and is going so far out of his way to punish rather than to actually pursue any kind of meaningful policy. There are things you can do at the end of your term where you can actually, you know, maybe make a difference, maybe set the groundwork for to make it easier for the next guy to come in. They're doing the exact opposite.
Another question, Abe. On the settlement part, how many people would really be affected on the movement back?
Well, it depends based on what they're calling so-called
right, the perimeters of which
territory.
They define. Yeah.
That would include half of the almost half the residents of Jerusalem, a grand total of probably in the area of 700,000 or 800,000 people. You probably have about 400,000 people. I'd say that's evenly divided between people in Jerusalem and people in various settlements. And, you know, these settlements also, it's not like there's been this incredible expansion of settlements. Settlements still take up just a fraction of the land. If there were actually a peace deal, I mean, if all of a sudden they turned into Canadians overnight,
right.
And you could actually trust them and then, trust their sincerity to make peace,
then
can dismantle some of the settlements.
Right. And then if there's really peace, then what's the big deal if there's a settlement here or there,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, and exactly. What's the problem?
Do you think did you feel any resentment? Did you think there's any resentment in Israel, in particular perhaps in the government, that Kerry was talking down to Israel, basically saying, we know more than you do, what's good for you?
Yeah, that's, well, look, Kerry talks down to everybody. That's the way Kerry talks. But yes, I think that especially irks the people here. And it's not as if, who made him the expert on this?
Right.
The Israelis have been fighting for their lives, like I said, we're coming up on 70 years. You get respites between wars, but they're still under attack. In fact, I mentioned last night the number of shootings that were prevented. I actually saw the number of terror attacks total that were prevented this year, 400. It's not like they're not trying on the other side, they're not trying to commit terror and murder. You know, it's only by the grace of the Israeli intelligence and security communities that things are as safe as they are here.
Right.
But don't pretend that everybody's willing to sit down and live peacefully side by side. Just isn't the case.
You know, it was interesting because at one point in the speech today, he referred to, you know, the Arabs and the Israelis need to come together, at least in part, to deal with the problem of Iran. And I'm thinking, who just exacerbated that problem? And Rachel Cohen just texted me. She reminds me that, Kerry's daughter's husband is, well, you know. So it's interesting, all this intrigue and all these different things that are going on, and yet it seems as though this administration does have it in for Israel for some reason or other. A lot of, possibilities as to the motivations, but the end result is what we're really concerned about. The problems that have already been created with this UN resolution, and if there were to be some sort of declaration of a member status for a Palestinian state at the UN, what does that actually mean? Is this going to be a call for perhaps violence from the other side, because now they expect the UN and the West to back them up?
I don't know what anyone really expects from the UN. I know that the Palestinians think that this is a big victory. I don't know. I think that the farther down this road they go, the more likely it is that the UN will have its teeth removed by one President Donald J. Trump. And I think that if they want the UN to retain any kind of power, they'll cut this kind of stuff out really fast.
All right.
Hey, Abe, one quick question. You know that John Kerry fought in Vietnam, didn't you? He got shot in the back charging the enemy.
Yeah, right. Well, Abe,
one of his many Purple Hearts.
Yeah, I mean, what an American hero. He's about the reverse of a Navy SEAL or something.
Abe, when you take a look at the Obama administration, You don't see many Jews in that panel. What you do see is a whole lot of Muslims. And that will explain some of the animosity that this administration has towards Israel.
Abe?
He's had plenty of Jewish advisors, David Axelrod and David Plouffe, just come to mind, but he's...
Yeah, but
he's
now hold there. On. David yeah. Axelrod is a... He's not a rational person. He is a far left.
He's a liberal.
mentally ill.
Who believes in socialism.
Yeah.
Right. But that's who he's got, and the Jews that he has around him are of that persuasion.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Which does Israel no good.
One thing,
Kardashian Jews.
And where this really bothers me, and where I really do think this is a serious problem, is that this is only going to further the partisan split that is emerging regarding Israel.
Yeah,
because Israel has to answer back, and that just annoys the people who are still fans of the Democrats, who are still Democrats and still fans of the president. Look, there's a problem. The Democratic Party has a problem with Israel support these days, and this is only going to make it worse.
All right. Abe, we'll leave it there for now, but we'll pick this up again next week with you. And in the meantime, of course, you and Israel will be in our prayers, especially now with these latest developments. So you take care in the meantime.
Much appreciated.
And try to have a happy rest of the Hanukkah season here.
Good yontif.
Thank you very much. I'll sleep easily having heard Kerry
if you play him the night to get to sleep.
I was going
to
say, if you have any trouble. Yeah,
if you have any trouble, just play him and you'll get to sleep quick.
I'm going
to
replay the tape.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much, Abe. Thanks so much.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Okay. Once again, that is Abe Katzman. You spell Katzman with an S. You can find his work at abekatzman.com.
And he is a joint citizen, both of the U.S. and of Israel.
That's right.
And it's great to hear him.
He lives in Jerusalem.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
All right. And, we came to us on short notice. And
that was great.
Yeah, we feature Abe every Monday, but obviously when something develops like this we get him in here on short notice too. So something you won't find anywhere else than the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. We'll go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we got some tickets to give away. We got tomorrow's contest.
NFL.
Yeah, we got
contest.
Yeah, we got to hear about your response to the fellow who accosted you today.
Oh, gee, that was so frightening. I haven't recovered, dude.
You're going to have to start
is that typical? I mean, that is so typical.
You're going to have to start carrying some teddy bears around with you in the trunk of that Lincoln of yours,
but I mean,
right?
Can you imagine? I didn't even know he was yelling at me. You know?
All right, we'll be right back. The mouse that roared, right?
Ladies and gentlemen, we all know that one of the biggest investments we'll make in life is the house we choose to make our home. So why make this investment without knowing exactly what you're getting into? That's where Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections comes in. He'll make sure that excitement over the purchase of a house or rental property or commercial property doesn't turn into a nightmare after you take the keys. To get the most thorough and complete inspection, go to OrlandosHomeInspector.com or just call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Don't roll the dice on your home purchase. Remember, call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254.
Hi, I'm Kathy Santamassino with ASAP Programs. If you're a business owner, you need to protect your business from accidents, property damage, substance abuse, and theft. I can help you lower your risk and get an insurance discount with a program that is effective and affordable. Don't be caught with your guard down. Please call me today for a free assessment at 407-702-9511. Call 407-702-9511.
Stuck in traffic? We've got
scattered
the answer.
Scattered delays continue on I-4 eastbound. You're heavy before U.S. 27 in Polk County, then heavy 192 to 535. Slow beach line to South Trail. Heavy Cayley to Ivanhoe. Slow Fairbanks to Maitland. And heavy from Lake Mary to 1792. Westbound backups approaching the 417 in Sanford. Then heavy 408 to Michigan. Slow South Orange Blossom Trail to the Turnpike. Sand Lake to 535 and past 192. 417 southbound delays from 192 to World Center Drive. I'm Mick Dolan, FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
You gotta keep them separated.
That's right, you gotta keep them separated. We are the Titans of Talk Radio. We are the voice to be reckoned with. I am Christopher Hart in the studio with Michael McBath and Aubrey Kahn. Don't forget Aubrey Kahn, Saturday afternoons from 1 to 3, Talk to the Experts show. All right, with this speech by Kerry today, that kind of dominated the news. But speaking of dominating, you know, some wrestlers can dominate the other ones. And if you want to see some domination going on in the wrestling ring tomorrow night at Reloaded over here in Winter Park, some great live local professional wrestling going on. We got three more pairs of tickets to give away tonight.
Are there any women wrestlers involved in this domination?
Oh, yeah. Indeed, there are.
Now you want some tickets.
Yeah, listen, you guys
want to. Why do you think we go?
I know.
You're going to be one of the first quarters.
Tie my hands behind me and everything.
Oh, yeah. Well, you should have seen the some of the pictures old Dr. Ken was flashing around the other day.
Oh, boy. Right? You guys are sickos.
I was late. It had nothing to do with me.
This is great family fun. You can bring the whole family out to some great live local professional wrestling. Wrestling 2.0 is staging the event called Reloaded tomorrow night in Winter Park at the intersection of Howell Branch Road and Aloma Boulevard. We got three pairs of tickets to give away. If you would like a pair of tickets, call us right now, 407-774-8255. First three callers to call in and say they'd like to go, get a pair of tickets. 407-774-8255 is the number. And if you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, that's the number too. It is a lot of fun, Wrestling 2.0. Tomorrow night, the doors open at 6:30. Okay. Speaking of contests, right?
All
we got
right, Chris.
One tomorrow night. And by the way, Colonel McKnight's going to be here to help us judge the contest.
Well, I think this is going to be one that we would expect this time of year. This is going to be... What is a liberal Democrat's New Year's resolution? And when we say Democrat, we mean a political, someone in the political arena or someone in the movie star side.
Okay, but this has to be a Democrat? Has to be a liberal?
No, if they want to go to the Republican side,
okay.
Usually they're
right,
not.
That's what I thought.
Usually
yeah.
They're not too humorous because right. They're too solid and, you know, right on the money.
Well,
but
it could be.
But, you know, you're welcome to go either side.
I can imagine a few resolutions for Trump.
You know, my resolution for my favorite guy, Barack Obama, you know, is that he's finally decided to get a lifetime membership, the Gold's Gym. He's going to put a year in getting bulked up so he can look like Michelle.
So he'll be able to do bench press.
And then
with
after
10
that,
pounds.
He's going to hope that he can do curls with 10 pounds. So that's his resolution. What are yours for many of our wonderful politicians and movie stars? So it's very simple. New Year's resolution.
I think you're way off there.
Okay.
I think bench press 10 pounds by the end of 2017.
No, I can see him with the bar on his neck. He can't get it up.
Because
you know?
The bar alone weighs more than 10 pounds.
When you said, though, that he should bulk up to be, what did you say?
He should bulk up so he could look like Michelle.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I thought you were going to go on to say so.
Michelle would scare me a lot more than him if I walked into a room and somebody was said, one of these two are going to beat you up.
Right.
I can tell you which one would make me a little nervous, you know.
See, Michelle, I thought you were saying they could both be the same size so they could wear the same clothes.
Well,
they can borrow each other's clothes.
You know,
Michelle is twice the man Obama is.
So you think Obama's a trans dresser?
Who knows?
I think he could be.
I don't know. They haven't shown us what
body,
goes on in the White House.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, he's going to be fun to follow once he gets out.
So. Okay, so that's tomorrow night, New Year's resolution contest. You'll be playing once again for the great prize package, which includes life-size cutout of your favorite person or persons or animal or thing.
Barack Obama.
Whatever. From Dino and Janice Rentos, Dino Rentos Studios, DinoRentosStudios.com. And the $20 gift certificate to Cafe Positano. Don't forget, they got a
Lessons from the Golfer comes free.
That's right. That's right.
That's exactly right.
Some pointers. And New Year's Eve, they got a party going on. And, of course, you can make reservations there anytime. Their number is 407-774-8080. And then, of course, Rick Brown has pitched in some $10 gift cards for Tijuana Flats. So a lot of great eating, a lot of great stuff to be won tomorrow night. And our contest. Okay, this thing I've been teasing about the proper response. Do you care to describe to our audience what happened to you today as you were working out, wearing some of your favorite attire? You had your Penn State cap on.
My Penn State has PSU on the hat. It's a white hat for the good guys,
right? And
right?
Your shirt.
And then I had my Hillary for Prison t-shirt. We know we're past that, right? Isn't the election over and everything?
Well, yeah.
I still feel that she should be waterboarded and not go to prison, but I was wearing my t-shirt.
Okay, right.
I'm in the gym, and I'm doing some curls. And I'm, you know,
I hope with more than.
Yeah, I would be caught dead
behind.
I would be caught dead with 5 pounds on the bar, right? You know what I mean? So this gentleman, and that's really using gentleman. The term loosely.
Yes.
This guy, he looked a little, you know, but he starts yelling. And I didn't know he's even yelling at me. He's yelling, yeah, you're responsible for the raping of children, and you're responsible for homophobe.
The Penn State.
Yeah,
thing,
right. He saw the hat, and then he goes to the shirt. You know, you're a Trump supporter of the very worst kind. You're the type of people that cause misery in this country. Then I realized he was talking to me. Right? You know? So, you know, I don't like to be silent, you know. So I turned around to him, and I said very calmly, I said, listen, can I help you? I said, do you need a safe space? I said, I have a puppy out in the car if you'd like to pet him. And if that's a problem, I said, you know, we're going to have a pity party on January 20th when Trump. And then the guy sort of took off and went upstairs and left the building. But I do hope I see him again.
I guess he headed out for his
plan. You know? But I mean,
no,
in all seriousness,
just reminded him that he needed to get to a safe space.
And
right?
I know. Maybe he ran to a safe space. But in all seriousness, the guy's yelling. I didn't think he was yelling. I didn't know who he was yelling. And then I realized it was me when he started referencing Penn State. You know
right.
what I mean? So,
right.
Boy, what a bunch of weirdos. I'll tell you. You talk about people who really need mental counseling. Wow.
Well, Mike, maybe he'll be able to get a job soon.
Oh, he'll be in the Obama administration for the UN.
Well, no. I'm talking about, you know, the...
Oh, yeah, this is good news. This is real good news.
What's that?
The crazy news broadcasting corporation, CNBC.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Trump says Sprint will bring back 5,000 jobs to the U.S. and OneWeb will create 3,000 new jobs.
How about that?
Another, you know, again... Consumer confidence, like we talked about yesterday, the highest it's been since 2001, small business since 2009. We are on the right track, and it's really getting exciting.
Yeah.
Watch Obama try and take the credit.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. I mean, he's done such a great job with the economy,
believe
right?
Believe you me, he will. Just that.
How many more days do you have left? Yeah.
And by the way, our colleague Carl Jackson has proposed the theory that part of what Obama is doing with this UN resolution and whatever he's doing with Israel, whatever is yet to come, is that he's trying to set Trump up for failure in that arena and then be able to argue
the other side.
Exactly, right. that Trump can't get along with the rest of the world, that he's the problem, because you're absolutely right, Aubrey, that whatever happens good during the Trump administration, Barack Obama is going to stand up and claim credit for it.
Right.
But whatever happens bad, of course, is going to be all Trump's fault.
Yeah, because he doesn't have to blame Bush anymore.
Right, exactly. So he'll just, you know, he's going to do the flip side.
Right.
All right, everything good, that's me, Barack Obama. Everything bad, Donald Trump. And so in a way, he's playing to his audience with this UN business.
Right.
Because the liberals love this.
Right.
Oh, they love this.
Right.
So, you know, he's consolidating his base, if you will, at the detriment of Israel and a lot of other people.
Well, he doesn't care about anyone else.
No. No, because, see, that's the bottom line. You know, I don't know that it's so much that he hates Israel or is trying to destroy mm-hmm. Israel. He's just trying to be Barack Obama, and the rest of the world has to kowtow to that reality.
Right? I think he bows to the Saudi prince.
And yet he does.
I think once he's out of the presidency, he's going to realize he doesn't have too many friends. Well, we'll see.
All right. Well, we hope you friends will stay with us through the break and be with us on the other side. We got a whole another hour to go. Don't forget, Larry Elder's up then. And then at 9 o'clock, Nick LoCicero's show, WDW.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit it right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on the road.
I don't think we're going to see anything good come out of John Kerry's speech and this administration's, this temporary now administration's position on Israel and the Palestinians, but we may sure enough see a lot of bad come of it. All right, thanks for being with us. We are the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show coming to you. Well, we got what, just a handful of days left in 2016.
That's right. You know.
And then it's
do you think it was a great year, bad year, good year?
Great year.
I just heard some people on TV, they're going, it was a very bad year. How could it be a bad year? It might be the greatest year of my lifetime.
Trump.
In all seriousness, in the sense Trump. Of the direction of the country.
That's right. Wow. All right, thanks for listening to us. We are live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And because we are live, you may call us at any time in the next hour at 407-774-8255. Nick LoCicero is on the bridge. Got Michael McBath in the studio, economist, Predators founder. Exactly. And union boss. We got, talking about bosses, we got Boss Hoss, Aubrey Kahn in the
Hoss
studio.
Hoss right.
Yeah. And he, of course, is also the host of the Talk to the Experts show every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. And with the exception of this Saturday, it's usually live. But, of course, he's also my co-host on our Sunday night version of the American Adversaries, which we call the Classic Edition. All right. We got a lot yet to talk about here tonight. We got, what is this?
Stock market today.
This was an interesting market. Yeah, we got a little bit of.
We got a little bit of a jump downwards. You know, everybody's looking to break 20,000, and we actually dropped today about 111 points, which is really relative to how big the Dow is now, is very little. You know, we closed at 19,833. But, you know, you look at what's going on right now, and I know, Chris, we discussed it a little bit earlier, but in London, the London FTSE 100 actually hit an all-time high. And oil today, which I don't like this. You know, I got gas today coming over. It was like $2.37. Now, you know, we're so used to $2 and stuff like that. I mean, but you know what? That creeps into people's pocket. And oil today actually crossed over, West Texas Intermediate crossed over $54. So, you know, you're seeing a sort of somewhat stabilization around that 50 area with an upside preference.
Which should keep gas in
right.
the low $2.
Now, we got 2 days range. Left, and what we talked about, you got portfolio shifting, you know, for the end of the year because a lot of these mutual funds have to reallocate their portfolio because of the fact right now they're probably too heavy stock relative to,
right.
you know, what the determination of the portfolio
right.
is supposed to
right.
be.
What Mike is saying is a lot of funds, in particular funds that are pension funds, are required to have a certain balance of stocks, bonds, cash,
right.
that sort of thing.
And then we've had a huge run in
right.
you know, a month, and
they've got to
rebalance it. And
right.
plus,
so they, in essence, have to sell some stock to buy some bonds.
You got it. And it's the final throes of tax selling, too. You know, I mean, if you got
right.
long-term gains,
right.
you better get on the stick.
But what we're saying is that this is not indicative of any fundamental
no.
change
this
in
is,
attitude.
All this is readjusting portfolios
housework.
And personal
right.
work to
this
for
is
tax
housework.
Purposes.
Right. The brokers and the pension funds have to do at the end of every year. They just
right.
have, and this year, there was such a big run up in stocks since
mm-hmm.
November the 8th
right.
That they're having to deal with that. So, but once again, Chris, the sentiment looking forward is excellent for the economy.
I mean, we have all the ingredients there. Profitability is certainly going to get better, probably not in the first quarter because there's a lag before he gets all those things done. But it is a case with this mentality, you can actually see this market moving northwards.
Well, I think you're also going to see, and the numbers are now beginning to show, that the holiday spending for Hanukkah and Christmas exceeded $1 trillion, I thought I saw this year.
Yeah.
And so
my wife was a big part of that. You know.
The optimism is out there already showing up in a tangible way.
Right.
Because people are feeling better about their future. They're not afraid to let go of a few dollars every now and then.
And you even look at the restaurants. You know, the more expensive restaurants are now packed, you know, and when there's tougher times, they're half full. So everything seems to be going in the right direction. And, you know, if Trump delivers, it's going to be a nice period for all of us.
Absolutely. Got Rick on the line. And, Rick, how you doing tonight?
Hi, guys.
Hey,
how
Rick.
You doing?
I remember last year we came up with songs for terrorists and things like that. Well, in light of the new results of the election, I came up with another one for this year so that ISIS can kind of enjoy
The atmosphere.
Spirit.
Okay.
If you're interested.
Yeah, go ahead. Hit it, Rick.
I'm not George Michael, but I'll give it a shot. Okay. Christians roasting on an open fire. Severed heads are at their toes. Mortar rounds interspersed with gunfire. And thugs in black from head to toe. Everybody knows the turkey's in the White House now. But ISIS soon will get a fight. Tiny minds. With bomb vests set to blow, we'll find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Trump is on the way. He's got a cabinet full of generals on display. And every terrorist is going to die when they see drones swooping in from the sky.
Beautiful.
And beautiful. So I'm warning with a simple phrase. Terrorists the whole world through. Get this in your head. Very soon you'll be dead. Trump is coming for you.
Rick, that's beautiful. I mean, it brings a tear to everybody's eyes.
That is deserving.
Yeah, no, that was great.
That's it.
Yeah. Outstanding. I mean, that was really good.
Left out during the holiday season, you know.
That's right. Yeah, that would be sad if they were. Yeah, right. We didn't want.
Now you're not a songwriter, are you, Ray?
That was pretty good.
I write
though.
A lot of things, but songs aren't.
Well, that was pretty good.
Aren't you glad you're not George Michael?
That was very good. Your rendition and the lyrics.
That was
so,
really
yeah,
good.
If you'll send that to me, we'll put that on our Facebook page.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
Yeah.
I know.
I like that. Okay.
All right.
I'll
very good.
To you.
All right.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Rick. Please appreciate
thanks,
that.
Have a good evening.
All right.
You too. Thanks.
Yeah. Maybe we should do that every year. Do the song contest.
Oh, yeah. I like the song contest. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, that one was going to be hard to beat.
I know. I was going to say, you already got a winner.
We got a winner already.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. You know.
Cancel the
jingle bells. Jingle bells.
That would have been very hard to beat. That is for sure.
That was really good.
All right.
You know.
And by the way, folks, our Facebook page is American Adversaries on Facebook. We'd love for you to go there. Double check us, I like to say. You need to check us in the morning and
new
check
pictures,
us in the evening.
New stories,
all
new
the
songs.
Time. New songs,
you know,
that's right.
So we got it all.
All
the
time. All the time.
I even posted some stuff on there last night.
Yeah, the X-rated stuff.
I was going to say, we took it down.
Thank you very bloody much.
Your string bikini just doesn't cut it. You know what I mean?
No. And, by the way, you can post messages up there, too, and leave us the great tidings of good joy.
Mm.
All right. So that's American Adversaries on Facebook. And don't forget to check out our website, too, AmericanAdversaries.com, where you can join the American Adversaries Army.
And, Chris, you know, if they have any of these songs the next couple of days, they're New Year songs, bring it on.
All right.
I know. We love that.
Bring it on. Bring it on, as he said. Did you know that in California, As of January 1st, the sale of semi-automatic weapons will be illegal. And it doesn't matter what style they are. They will be semi-automatics will be illegal in California.
You realize then that
the sale of them.
Realize then that no one will be able to buy a pistol?
That's part of the problem.
You realize then no one will be able to buy a hunting rifle unless it's a bolt action.
Exactly. Or a lever action. Like I've got an old Winchester lever action.
Right.
But it's the same idea, correct.
And who's instituting this?
California. Thank you, Jerry.
The only
Brown.
People who have the automatic will be the gangsters and the
right.
people in the streets.
Well, that's the,
and
that's
they're also
the point.
Limiting yeah. magazines to 7 rounds or 10 rounds.
Right, and they're trying to implement. I'm not sure if they did. By the way, you can get. I'm sure Armed American Radio will be talking about this Sunday night. Well, actually, not this Sunday
not
night.
This Sunday,
yeah, but. It does go into effect January the 1st, and they're also trying to implement where
so
you
no
have to...
So semi-automatics?
Correct. Will be sold. Will be,
wow.
The sale of them will be illegal. So which, of course, means that the bad guys will now...
Oh, they'll be able to unload on you so quick
right.
you won't even know what happened.
Exactly. And now the possession of them, if you already own them, you'll still be able to own it. But, of course, there's a run on them right now going on until the 1st. But then after that, the sale of them will be illegal. And they're also trying to make it such that you have to go through a background check every time you buy ammunition.
Oh, that's just to harass the public.
Of course. Yeah. That's the bottom line.
Absolute garbage.
Is to harass the public, make it a hassle to own a weapon.
Yeah, right. It's too much of
to protect
aggravation.
Yourself with.
Right.
And leave yourself in the hands of the ever-caring and endearing state, right?
Right? Soon you'll only be able to use a musket. You know?
And, of course, this is a state where they have sanctuary cities. Right?
Oh, boy.
And
you're
everything
not
that goes along with the sanctuary cities, like the San Francisco treat.
Yeah, Chris, we were talking about that today. There's a major article on our wonderful place, San Francisco. I was out there last year and was appalled by, the people urinating in the street, the feces in the street. They were talking about the fact that...
And it wasn't even because of the Super Bowl.
I know. This is a very unsafe city. It's like in the 98th percentile for unsafe. And the reality of it is, this urination has actually been destroying subway buildings, elevators, escalators, it's just terrible been taking place. And then they talk about, it's like it used to be, as we remember it years ago, the Free Love Society and all that place. But the answer is it's not free, and there's syringes all over the place, drug addicts everywhere. You can't take care of the homeless. The cost of a house now averages about $1.1 million. The average income, because it is a silicone-like type of place, is about $84,000. So they got great dislocation of people. They can't survive. And this was a true product of liberalism, totally controlled by the liberals for the last 20-plus years. Thank you again for helping us. Disgusting.
They've also passed a law in New York that you're allowed to urinate on the street now.
I did that on the picture of the Bellagio, but I didn't know that was okay.
it's just ridiculous.
It is.
But
indeed.
That actually is a law in New York City?
Yes, in New York you're now allowed to urinate in the street because of all the homeless people. They don't want them going into restaurants and stuff.
Right. It's the lesser of the evils.
I thought it rained.
So the guy's standing on the first floor, and he, you've got golden showers.
That's just great.
I'm going to be looking for people on the roof. So I'll tell you that.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue the conversation and tell you about a restaurant that doesn't want your business. If you supported Donald J. Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So stick around for more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show coming right back at you.
Allison's Restaurant. Remember that?
Folks, if you drive a Mercedes-Benz, then you need to know Jerry Shepard. Jerry and his wife, Jana, own and operate Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service. a state-of-the-art service center located on Econ Circle, just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. Because you drive a Mercedes-Benz, you obviously care about quality workmanship. That's what you get at Jerry's. Whether you need regular maintenance work or an emergency repair, Jerry's is the place to take your Mercedes. Jerry offers the best service at the best price. Jerry's Mercedes-Benz service is truly the dealership alternative. And if you're in the market to buy a pre-owned Mercedes, take it to Jerry's for a free evaluation. They'll look it over top to bottom and arm you with the info you'll need to get the best deal. So call Jerry's at 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Or visit them at jerrysmb.com. Remember, Jerry's is the dealership alternative, and they're also a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries radio show. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming Dino Rentos Studios as a new sponsor of the American Adversaries radio show. At Dino Rentos Studios, they custom manufacture displays, props for events, parties, trade shows, retailers. They can make just about anything for just about anybody. That's right. DinoRentosStudios.com is the website. You spell Rentos, R-E-N-T-O-S. Dino Rentos Studios. The phone number is 800-704-7089, 800-704-7089. Want to decorate a party for that special grandchild or child? Want to decorate a party for an office party? They can do it at Dino Rentos Studios, and they can do it within your budget. Dino Rentos Studios, that's where they make just about anything, and if they can't make it, nobody can. That's DinoRentosStudios.com, 800-704-7089.
Welcome back to the show, folks. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. Just a quick program note in case you hadn't heard already. Of course, this weekend is New Year's weekend.
You're not kidding. It's all the big bowl games.
That's right.
The fun has begun. And right here, Chris, right off the bat, West Virginia 7, Miami 0.
Ooh.
They're playing right down the Citrus Bowl.
And yep.
I hope there's a good crowd there.
Hope and there is, too.
A little bit earlier, Northwestern, Big Ten team, beat Pitt. 31-24.
Ooh, look out.
We'll see.
All right. The bowl game, bowl season is in full bloom, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
New Year's weekend this weekend. We won't be here Sunday night, and we won't be here Monday night, just like this last weekend. We're going to have another three-day weekend, and then we'll be back to our regular schedule for the foreseeable future.
Are you going to be playing golf at all, Chris?
You know, the other day I went to the driving range.
No.
Yeah.
What'd you do? Just have lunch there? Or... You didn't practice, did you?
No. I did indeed.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah. I was a little bit more consistent. A little bit more.
Then,
one of the fellas there, he saw me. He goes, "You've been playing golf long?"
That's very encouraging, Chris.
Which obviously he knew the answer was no.
Some people are very polite.
He gave me a couple little tips, and by golly, I was driving the ball better.
Yeah, but when he saw your three clubs, I figure he probably got an idea this wasn't exactly your game. You know,
that's about the size of it.
That's funny.
Where did you
driving range did you go to?
Right over here, the Wakiva.
Oh, Wakiva, yeah, okay.
Hunt Club.
Oh, yeah, the Hunt Club. Okay.
Yeah, nice little driving. Driving range.
Ew.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah. You know what? If you would drink more liquor, you could straighten your shots out. You know
what I mean? As long as I didn't pass out.
I know. I was going to say, you'd be a lot more effective. You know?
Okay. There is a restaurant, and Lord, I didn't write the state down. I think it's in New Jersey or New York.
Wait a second. I think I have this one. Right.
That they've got a sign up on the door before you come in. And the sign says, if you voted for Trump, you can't eat here.
Right.
And then under it, it says, no Nazis.
I know. You know what I would do? I would go in there, I would eat, and then I would start making a ruckus saying, Trump, 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 until they threw me out without paying.
Well, see, this is the thing. You would make you have to make sure you don't do that until after you eat.
After you've eaten,
Or at least until after they've delivered the food to your table.
No,
to
no,
be
no,
because
then they'll throw you out without you eating. You've got to eat first.
Well, that's true,
and
yeah.
And then you get up and start going, Trump, 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 so they throw you out and you don't have to pay.
I was just thinking, make sure that they didn't put something extra in the food.
Oh. Chris, the con man knows how to play this deal.
He does,
you know what
indeed.
I mean? Eat and then react.
Look at me.
These instances of people who just can't seem to come to terms with losing an election. And, for any kind of a democracy or democratic republic to work, you got to be willing to lose, or at least able to lose every now and then.
Part of life.
No.
Yeah.
No?
No, it's always the opposition that has to lose.
Well, that's the idea.
Well,
but the whole point is, for it to work.
I'm going to throw a tantrum until I get my way.
Well, that's in essence what they're doing.
The other thing, Chris, is if you saw that, Rutgers, I love this. They had signs all over the campus, only talk when necessary, meaning they don't want you as a student going there really a spark plug of conversation or anything, because there's a good chance you're going to commit microaggression and you may say something that would offend somebody. Yeah. Oh, my God. Come on over to my fraternity when I was in college. You want to be offended? I mean, the minute you walk in the front door, you're offended. Is this insane? Don't talk much because you could offend somebody. Oh, okay.
And in essence, that's part of the, shall we say, coming of age or growing up.
That's part of growing up and expressing your thoughts, whether they're right or wrong.
Well, and also,
rejection is there certainly part of the game.
Well, not so much expressing your own, but being exposed to others.
Right.
Right? The whole idea is you want to be exposed to the other side.
Well, I don't want you to talk to me anymore.
Of the argument.
Yeah.
The other side of the argument, okay?
And Mike likes to expose himself.
You want to be exposed to the other side of the argument so that it doesn't bother you as much. I mean, what bothers these people is that they feel like they shouldn't have to endure
your
anything that they
ideas.
Don't like. Right,
right,
exactly. And that's what gives it more power.
Mm-hmm.
You see? You take the power away by hearing it and going, oh, is that all you got?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's this thing with the election. The more, I told my niece this weekend, as I said yesterday, she said she hates Hillary Clinton, but she hated Trump more.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, just wait a year, you'll be singing a different tune.
Yep.
But also, I told her, one of the things that builds Trump up is the hate from the other side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That gives him strength. It makes him bigger. You see? And in essence, we kind of did the same thing with Obama.
Mm-hmm.
We made him a bigger person because we vilified him so much. That's part of the process.
Right.
But, and so, hate on. You want to hate Donald Trump? Hate on.
I know, but
because
you,
it adds to his persona, it adds to his bigness, because he is bigger than that, you see.
But when you think of, where are the common sense professors in our universities?
No, they're all gone.
Again,
you're talking about the one that, the female who teaches on human sexuality?
Oh, yeah. It, go ahead, yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. She went on a rant.
That's viral now.
Calling Trump voters terrorists and Trump a terrorist and just carried on. Well, one of her students happened to tape this. He's a conservative, and he put it out on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Is this
has hit the fan for this lady.
Oh.
And so she wrote a letter, which she posted on the internet, talking about her First Amendment right and how, no one has the right to publish what she's written to someone else in private, and so on and so on. So everything that she does is okay, but when someone else returns the favor, it's not okay.
Well, that's the mentality of the liberal, that their motives, their intentions are, beyond reproach. And anybody that opposes them, their intentions are obviously malicious and evil or whatever, right? All right, there's that clock running out on us again. We'll take another break when we come back. We got more to talk about here tonight. And, that violence at those malls, it turns out, was coordinated.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? But we'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that on the other side.
Yeah.
And we'll give you once again, one more time, the rules for tomorrow night's contest.
Hey, y'all, this is Sam Houston, professional wrestler. Anyway, I just wanted to take a minute of your time and say, hey, if you need to get up to date on your views and issues and everything else, listen to the American Adversaries on AM 660, The Answer. These guys got it going on. Trust me.
All right. Got some local live wrestling going on tomorrow night right here in Orlando. Some local talent and some international talent going to be there tomorrow night. At 7 o'clock, the doors open at 6:30 for Reloaded at the intersection of Aloma and Howell Branch Road. We gave away a pair of tickets in the first hour. We got a couple more pairs of tickets to give away. If you would like to go tomorrow night to Reloaded, give us a call right now at 407-774-8255 for a free pair of tickets to Reloaded tomorrow night, Winter Park. Okay, I am Christopher Hart, along with Mike McBath. Aubrey Kahn is in the studio with us tonight. And don't forget Aubrey's show, Ask the Experts, every Saturday at 1 o'clock on these same stations, which happen to be FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. These mall melees that happened Monday, mostly in the Northeast and through the Midwest.
Mostly in the Northeast, Midwest. Yeah. You know, they're starting to blame, which I think there's some degree of viability with this, that Snapchat, you know, they draw like 200 kids within, you know, a half hour. And the problem, in particularly in the Northeast malls, all of a sudden these kids are sitting home and they appear in the mall and then they destroy, you know, they break the glass, they try to steal the product. But now they realize that these kids are really in jeopardy because guess what? The mall is private property. It's not like standing in the street, right?
Well,
Number two, you throw a fist at someone, that's assault, right?
Yeah, well, the
answer is you got to start catching these kids and put them in the can overnight. I mean, you just can't create a society of wild people that just think they can get away with everything.
Well, part of the problem, I was just getting ready to say, part of the problem is that the mall securities are overwhelmed.
Oh, I understand now. Police are monitoring Snapchat and these other systems for looking for these notes to come out and then overrun the malls.
Right.
And that's just horrible.
And as I said last night, this is predominantly gang activity.
Right.
Gangs calling their members to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And these can be, they can, you know, a gang is not just in one city. In other words, MS-13 and the other bigger gangs are in all the cities just about. You got them right
just
here in Orlando.
Gathering them up.
You got MS-13 here in Orlando.
Right.
Okay, so they're everywhere. And so when they call their members to action, they go out and they act.
Right.
And so, once again, the problem is gang activity. And yeah, they're using Snapchat or whatever the latest craze is to do this sort of thing. But that's just, you know, facilitating the actions of people who are already on the wrong path, shall we say. And, yeah, I understand what you're saying.
There has to be a point that responsibility needs to be shown, I believe, under Trumpism, that you need to really take some of these kids, you go to jail, here's the deal, you can't do that. I mean, how are they ever going to learn right and wrong? Because they don't know it now if they're doing that. At 17 and 18.
Well, do you think that jail time is the answer?
This is a problem, though, and that's what I'm saying is...
I know, a safe zone.
The security is being overwhelmed in the sense that you'll not round them all up. You might catch a handful of them, but the rest of them are going to get away. One of the malls is now saying that they are not going to allow minors under the age of 18 unescorted by an adult.
Imagine what that does to your sales. If you're selling teenage shirts and hats and all that, you're killing your sales.
Unfortunately, that's part of the problem. And, you know, kids with money are the first ones to be parted from it,
right.
So it certainly creates problems for the retailers and the malls. But this is part of the reason why they're doing it. Mm-hmm. Part of the motivation is that these are disaffected, disenchanted, disenfranchised, whatever dish you want to come up with, people who just are
waiting for something to do.
Well, and that part of it, and wanting to punish others.
Mm-hmm. They're undisciplined. They weren't raised by their parents.
Exactly. And I think you go after the parents.
But
if you can find them.
That doesn't change the behavior and the attitude of the children.
Well, it could. If you change the parenting approach of the parents, you know.
If the kid's 16, 17, or 18, he's got no respect for his parents anyway.
Well,
so what is parents going to do? Nothing.
Well, you know, I know you're going late in the game, but the whole point is, see, the problem with arresting the kids is that now you make it a state problem, not a family problem. And it's a family problem, ultimately. And so the solution is somehow bringing that family back together. And if the kids are out doing it, it's probably because they're not being supervised correctly. Would you agree?
I would agree on
that. Okay, well, whose problem is that? Whose fault is that?
The parent is...
Right.
He's failed his responsibility.
This may sound simplistic,
right.
But I'm a simple kind of guy. Mm. A lot of people would say that in different ways, right?
No, we'd agree. A real simple life.
But there's this episode of the old Andy Griffith Show.
Right.
All right.
Opie.
It's this episode where there's a new kid in town, and this kid is spoiled. And I referred to this episode a week or so ago when I was talking about the adults are coming to Washington now, right?
Right.
Okay. This new kid comes to town, and he's spoiled. His parents spoil him, give him everything he wants, right? And when he doesn't get what he wants, he throws a little temper tantrum. Mm-hmm. And so the show progresses as he's teaching Opie how to get what he wants by throwing temper tantrums, okay?
Okay.
But only it doesn't go over with Andy. Andy doesn't buy it, and he doesn't whip the kid, but he just says, look, you're not going to get what you want, and if you don't do what I'm telling you to do, you're not going to get your allowance.
Well, I'm glad you watched that show at your age. That man helped you live a better life.
Bring me some better TV and I'll watch
it.
Okay. All right. Well, this is crap they come out with today. I'll take Andy Griffith any day of the week. So, long story short, the kid gets caught riding his bike down the street where he's not supposed to be riding it. So Barney takes the bike away from him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so the kid, you know, comes to the sheriff's office and says, I'm going to get my dad and you're going to come back and he's going to show you. My dad will show you. So sure enough, the kid goes home, gets his dad, comes back, and the old man's, why don't you give the little boy his bike? I mean, what's the big deal? He rode his bike on the sidewalk. Why don't you give him his bike? And Andy's going, because he broke the law. And he said, And then it got around to, the kid was crying and crying and crying, and Andy was saying, well, look, you know, if I can't punish him, I'll have to punish you. And the kid goes, yeah, you go ahead. You put my dad in jail. You lock him up. And the old man's sitting there, and all of a sudden, the light goes off. Ooh, what am I raising here? And he goes to Andy. He goes to the kid first. He goes, you mean you would have him put me in jail rather than them keep your bicycle? He says, yeah, I want my bike. And so the old man looks at Andy. He goes, you wouldn't by any chance have a woodshed around here, would you? You see, you got to change the thinking in the parent. And then you change the thinking in the kid, even if it's a teenager.
Well, yes, but the problem is most of the parents are not going to do a darn thing
if you don't do anything to them.
Well,
see, this was the difference.
You hit the parent in the pocketbook.
Yeah.
And then the quickest way to educate a teenager to get something into their brain is through their butt.
Well, that's
and you bring back corporal punishment.
Well, that's...
And you cane the kid. And you raise welts on his butt.
Are we in Vietnam or where are we? You know?
Is that how you raise your daughters?
Yeah. I did not have to beat my children after the age of 8.
That's great. That's a wonderful story.
The whole point is more discipline. All right, less chaos. But you don't. The state is incapable of implementing that. It has to start at the family level, and there has to be incentives for it to happen at the family level when it doesn't. Now, for a lot of people like you guys raise your kids right. I mean, you guys got great kids. My brother raised his kids right, and his wife. They got great kids, all right? So it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there wasn't really anything special about your kids other than the parents.
They were taught right.
Exactly. You see, we got a bunch of kids out there mm-hmm. whose parents have been neglecting them, a lot of them because they're loaded up with these liberal notions of, mm-hmm. My kid gets whatever he wants, right? This is the entitlement generation. They all get a ribbon. Exactly. Yep. And so we're raising up these
entitlement kids
who aren't prepared for the real world. And so their determination, rather than to get ready for the real world, is to make our world more miserable. And that's what they're doing.
And that's why you've got college kids that cannot handle reality when the person they voted for loses.
Right. And so what do they want to do? They want to make the rest of us have to compensate for their feelings rather than having to come to grips with them.
I'll compensate their feelings for them.
Yeah, with a cane.
But you know, the problem, Chris, with all these colleges is the fact that they're already there. These kids have passed the point of no return. Now, what is the place of the college? I believe that if you fund those colleges as a state university and everything, you should have some sort of say as to the actions of some of these professors, you know, like the guy, the white genocide,
right,
and having signs on campus. And
well, colleges are a particular problem.
Yeah, I mean, how do we stop this and change the mentality?
Well, for right now, anyway, and let's hope that it doesn't change,
mm-hmm.
there is not much gang activity on college campuses. The gangs are picking up.
They're called fraternities, Chris.
Okay, well, all right. the violent gangs, find their prey amongst the people who
right.
are dropouts or, you know,
right.
low educated.
Difficult life.
Right. And,
why
and,
do you look at me when you say that?
the problem with the colleges is the total imbalance, the gross imbalance in the faculty, where you have 95 or greater percent liberals teaching the kids. Now, there's a place for liberals in the university because that's what the university is supposed to be about.
Right.
But you got to have the
balance.
And there is no balance there. Zip, zero, nada. There wasn't a balance back in the 1980 when I was going to UCF studying political science. I mean, the professors were predominantly liberal, and it was quite obvious.
But, you know, political science would certainly attract, you know, people of that nature.
You would think not.
You know,
you would think that those people would be the ones who would be a little bit more scientific about
it.
Political science.
But
of course, we know that all science has been corrupted now mm-hmm. by the liberals, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it shows up most in the climate change. But you also see it, obviously, in the liberal arts and in the universities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Yeah, but it's that is a particular problem that can only be handled at the board of directors or the trustees or whatever that run the college or the university, because they are the ones responsible for
also,
that university or college offers up
and the contributors to the university. If people don't conform, they can have a voice. You're not going to get that $2 million.
Right.
This is what we expect.
Right. Right. It's, you know, the Chinese have a saying, and that is that wealth kind of cycles in three generations. The first generation begins the process of creating the wealth. They come up with, say, the idea of a product.
Right.
Okay. The second generation inherits that, sees the value in it, knows how to create more value, and creates more wealth. The third generation comes along and has all this wealth plopped down in their lap, know nothing about how to create it, only know how to squander it. I would say we're living in that third generation of the cycle, where we have created a tremendous amount of wealth that parents of our age have plopped into the laps of their children without really asking much for it and not getting much in return. Whereas you look at a guy like Trump, he made his kids work.
Right.
They came from the rich side of town, and yet Ivanka talks about when all her friends from school during the summer break were going to Europe and going to Italy and doing all the cool stuff. She had to go to work. She had to learn what it was like to earn a dollar. You see, we have lost total contact with how we should responsibly teach our children to be responsible citizens.
But don't you
some people get it, like you guys.
People are more innate to be aggressive, to be driven. I just believe, you know, you see lots of people, and some people, it's just their personality style.
Yeah.
Now, we can certainly teach, and convert a lot of people in that direction. But there are some people who just aren't lazy.
Well,
you know, they're up and running and don't stop running.
That's the beauty of humanity, you know?
And that's right. And that's how it really, that's why you have capitalism.
You run the full spectrum. That's right. Why it's so important that the people who are capable do.
And help the people and teach the people. Teach the people.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Let's take one more break for tonight's show. Don't forget Larry Elder comes up at 7 and Nick LoCicero with his show tonight live. Oh, I'm sorry.
Nick's on tonight.
Not live, but it is a recorded show at 9 o'clock.
Well, they're always good. I listen to his show at least 3-4 times.
You know what I mean? Great
each,
show.
Each show.
You will love it. All right. We will be back.
From Vacation Travel Planners, a member of Cruise Planners, with the latest vacation deals.
Like Bahama Cruises from $319 per person. How about an Alaska 7-night cruise from $399 per person? Sandals and Beaches are offering savings up to 65% off. America Waterways has river cruises, onboard credits on special sailing dates. Fathom Cruises, Dominican Republic 2016 cruises from $499 inside cabins and balconies starting at $699 per person. Perhaps at a cruise to Cuba starting at $799 for 7 nights for Florida residents. Give us a call at 321-251-4777. That's 321-251-4777. Or visit us at vacationtravelplanners.com. Keep listening to the American Adversaries for new travel specials every week. Bon voyage!
Support Legal Immigrants for America today as we promote legal immigration all across the USA. Fight amnesty and illegal immigration. Buy our book, The Bible and Immigration, at golifa.com. That's G-O-L-I-F-A.com. Support Legal Immigrants for America today at golifa.com and help us impact Congress, the White House, and the nation.
Folks, if you drive a Mercedes-Benz, you need to know Jerry Shepard of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service. Jerry owns and operates a state-of-the-art service center. Because you drive a Mercedes, you obviously care about quality workmanship. That's what you'll find at Jerry's. When you need expert maintenance or repair work and want it at the best price, call Jerry's at 407-366-6499. They'll have your Mercedes humming while you skip those high dealer rates. For the dealership alternative, call 407-366-6499. Jerry'sMB.com.
A visitor, Jeff, who's one of the producers of the show, who produces our show on Sunday nights.
That's right.
He popped in to say hello.
And very entertaining young man.
Now he's vanished again.
Yep.
You know, back Chris, to the mall for a role.
Back to our discussion, though, on how to raise kids and everything. The problem, too, though, is also interference. One of the reasons, why do you have your children play sports, whether they're good or not? Is there not a great lesson always taught in the sense of perseverance, discipline, study what you got to know to be successful in the sport? There's a lot to be taught. But the problem is, by allowing the lawyers into the school system, you know, like a kid now can walk right up to the coach and tell him to blank off, right? But, I mean, they can, mm-hmm. And the kid walks right away. In the old days, that kid would be smacked right to the ground, and rightfully so. Sorry. But, you know, but you teach discipline. And I can remember, as I told you years ago, when I was in Russia, and this was before it broke, you know, I'm sitting right there in a red square, and one of their soldiers comes up and says, "Reason America is so good is because they all play football. You know, they act like a machine. They're cohesive. You know, they're disciplined." Well, there is a point to that.
Yeah.
But the problem is, all these gangbangers and stuff, they're not playing football. They're just out in the street.
Yeah.
But we got to get the lawyers out of the classroom. So you discipline these kids right on the spot.
There needs to be a little bit more discipline in schools, yeah, but there needs to be a lot more discipline in the
homes. At home, of course. I mean, it all starts at home, but the problem is, you know, sometimes home, most of the time, unfortunately, this day and age, is not good enough.
No,
so you got to help the
parents. Parents want to be friends. They don't want to be parents.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's part of the problem.
Right, it is. And that's that end cycle, if you will, of the generation of wealth. They want to be friends, and so they're giving lavishing stuff on the kids oftentimes, and it's not teaching the right lesson. But I'm the last one to talk about raising kids because I have.
You've got how many?
Zero.
Right.
But the point is that it's oftentimes, you know, like you watch these shows. There's this show, My Cat from Hell. Have you ever watched that? I know you got
no,
a cat.
But
you guys
what you
got
just
cat.
Said reminded me of something.
What's that?
Those that can do, those that can't
don't.
Teach.
No, talk about
that's
it.
Right. That's right. But this show by Jackson Galaxy, he goes around and basically teaches people how to take care of their
show.
Cat,
yep,
right?
Yep. He's a nice-looking guy.
Yeah, right? I tell you what, you'd run it from him if you saw him in an alley. But anyway, you know, he comes into these homes where the cat is the quote-unquote the problem. The cat's scratching people, or he's peeing on the rug, or he's chasing the dog or whatever. And it turns out, of course, it's not the cat who's the problem. It's the people who own the cat. They don't know how to take care of a cat properly.
Right.
Exactly. It's a matter of understanding the cat.
Mm-hmm.
You see,
the cat understanding you.
Right. Exactly. But the solution isn't so much in changing the behavior of the cat as it is in changing the behavior of the cat owner. And see, this is what I'm talking about. The solution isn't so much in changing the behavior of the kid. You have to start with changing the behavior of the people who raise the kids. And obviously, some people do it right.
And some, but don't you believe also churches have a position in this?
Absolutely.
I mean, they should be in their own way, their own style, teaching discipline to the parents
and
convey to the children.
What has happened over the last... Well, it started 100 years ago, but seriously, over the last about 50 years, is that the family has been displaced and the state has stepped in to take its place. And it is incapable of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we see it moving more and more in that direction. So it's rather than, for instance, the incentive to get welfare to have a family together. The incentive to get welfare is to have the family apart.
Right.
You see?
Totally the reverse of what it should be.
Exactly. Right. And so in the name of compassion, we're going to help the single mother more than we will the family, when it should be the other way around.
Right.
You see? Either she will be incentivized not to be a single mother or to be with someone.
Right.
Right? So it's a complicated problem, but you know the solutions are there if we choose to see them.
This is so prevalent in our society today. I do believe that the Trump administration is going to come and attack that area in certain ways. We'll see.
They will change the approach, and perhaps that will begin to change the process. Speaking of getting things right, tomorrow night we have a contest. Once more time, what's the rules for tomorrow night's contest?
Well, I mean, this is, you know, we know what time of year this is, right? It's New Year's, and everybody has a resolution. So we would like to know what your resolution would be for your favorite politician, your favorite movie star, and it can be, you know, a guy you like. Maybe you got resolutions for Trump. Maybe you have them for John Kerry.
Maybe Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton. Maybe, you know, who knows? What is it, George Michael? The guy? Oh, he won't name
one. I don't think
he don't name one, so he's out. You know what I mean? But the whole point is come up with a resolution. Mine is for Barack Obama. I hope that my resolution is that he believes he will join Gold's Gym. You know, lifetime membership. He'll build his body up where he'll be able to look at least like Michelle, and then he's going to be able to do curls with at least 10 pounds. That's his. Now, what's your politician and, you know, possibly your movie star, whoever.
All right.
You know, so
that's tomorrow night. Colonel Danny McKnight's going to be on the show.
We've got
with
great
us.
Prizes, and it should be easy. These 2 weeks have been the easiest time to win these contests, you know, because everybody's a bit lackadaisical. They're not driving home normally.
A lot of family stuff going on.
There's big money on the table.
That's right. Life-size cutout from Janice and Dino Rentos, Dino Rentos Studios. Mm-hmm. $20 gift certificate to Cafe Positano. Don't forget they got a New Year's celebration going on New Year's Eve. You can make reservations. Call them at 407-774-8080. And you'll get a $10 gift card to Tijuana Flats. Compliments of our man, Rick Brown, who unfortunately won't be with us. He won't be able to be with us tomorrow night.
Downtown Rick Brown.
But Colonel McKnight will be here, and hopefully you will be here too. And don't forget, Aubrey Khan Show, Saturdays at 1 o'clock. Talk to the experts. If you have any questions about home ownership, everything from buying or selling to maintaining, they got the answers for you. Right, Aubrey?
That's the plan.
That be the plan. All right, well, we plan to cut on out of here. We'll be back tomorrow night. Larry Elder is up next. And then don't forget, 9 o'clock, WDW News. With Nicholas Cicero, WDWNT, tonight. Did I get that right?
Awesome,
oh,
Nick.
I got it all wrong again. Anyway, it's at 9 o'clock tonight. Yeah. You will hear the proper name of the show.
That's
right,
exactly
here at
right.
9 o'clock. Night, everybody.
Good night.
From the Total Roof Services Studio, FM 105.5.